This week, October 13th, 2015, on The Digital Story. Mac OS X El Capitan for photographers. The TDS 2016 photography season lineup. That's right, it's workshop time. Revisiting the DX01 with the iPhone 6S. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. I'm just so happy to be here with you on episode 501. Boy, did I get some great mail from you guys last week. I mean, it was a blast. I wanted the 500th celebration to be fun, and you guys just took it to another level. Thank you so much for all of your comments on Facebook, your emails, your tweets, your direct messages, all that stuff. It was just so very enjoyable. And yes, indeed, we will keep it going for, well, I'm not going to promise another 500, but for the foreseeable future. How's that? All right, we got lots to cover today, so I'm not going to dilly-dally very much. We'll start off with a weekly update. I have something like 5 feature stories, Virtual Camera Club news, lots of good stuff. So let's get going with the weekly update. The weekly update. DP Review reports Adobe issues Lightroom 6.2 apology and update. Adobe has issued an apology over the significant crashing bug introduced in Lightroom 6.2. The latest version of the software was released last Monday and brought with it a redesigned import experience. That new experience unfortunately also introduced instability into Lightroom and removed some import functions. Users reported issues with the software crashing and running poorly. Adobe's Tom Hogarty issued an apology Friday, revealing that Adobe was aware of the issues, but due to the scope of the bug being unclear, the company decided to ship the software regardless while continuing to search for reproducible case. Adobe issued a new update on Friday, version 6.2.1, that corrects the problem. It appears what Adobe called very low usage features in the import dialog box were indeed not. All right. So, boy, what a mess this has been. So, you know, I'm going to talk about El Capitan in a little bit here. And when I first wrote the report about El Capitan for photographers, I said, Lightroom seems to be having some problems. I wouldn't upgrade to El Capitan until those things are sorted out. Well, it looks like what I should have said is I wouldn't upgrade to Lightroom until those things are sorted out, because it just got worse from there. And, you know, okay, so I checked out the import dialog box. I had a couple of people write me about it, and I checked it out, and I go, you know, it just seems like a redesigned UI, because I wasn't using any of the features that were left off, such as being able to change the location of the files on import and having the auto eject after import was over. I don't use either one of those. So to me, it didn't seem like a huge screaming deal. However, Lightroom isn't my go-to photo management app. So, you know, that definitely lowers the stakes for me also. So just looking at it, I go, okay, you know, they probably should have done a better job of rolling this out. But then the other thing that is really making people crazy, which is just the crashing and the terrible performance, and it is a mess. And I'm not sure how it's sorting out right now with the 6.2.1 update or not, but I'm sure we'll be hearing about it. But it's funny, and then we'll move on. I'll just say this one last thing. If you listen to last week's show, we actually had Tom Hogarty on the show back at Lightroom 3. And they had had an extensive beta before they rolled that out. It was a big moment for Adobe. And I just remember that all the trouble that Adobe went to really get user input on all the new features and really have a chance to test out the application on all sorts of different computers and platform combinations and all that kind of stuff. And when they rolled out Lightroom 3, it really had been vetted well. And it just feels like that they've gotten away from that a bit. And I think they really paid for it on this 6.2 update. And, you know, the one thing over the years when I used to hang out at the Adobe campus, I used to hear a lot is that, you know, we're really not allowed to take away features. And that was one of the reasons why they said, you know, Photoshop is the way it is because we can't remove features. We can only add features because, you know, people don't tolerate it when you take features away. It's going to be something they use. And so I was really surprised that they removed things out of the import dialog box, especially without going through a long beta on it. So anyway, lots of fun over there in the Lightroom community. Those of you that use Lightroom for your go-to, you have my empathy, and I hope they get this sorted out before too long. I've heard that they may do something like have like two import dialogues, like basic and advanced or something like that. It's not going to be over for a while yet, this mess. Okay, in other news, Light, the company, Light, announces the L16, a 52 megapixel DSLR killer that fits in your pocket. I love the term anything killer. Ugh. And, you know, that is sarcasm there. Imaging Resource Reports. The L16 packs in 16 13 megapixel camera modules at three different focal lengths, 35 millimeter, there's five of them, 70 millimeter, there's five of them, and 150 millimeter, there's six of them, for a total of 52 megapixels. Each of these modules captures an individual image, which is then stitched together via software to yield a photo that Light claims is equal to the quality of a DSLR with a large lens attached. Light has officially opened up pre-orders for the L16, which will set you back $200 at the immediate deposit and a remaining $1,100 plus applicable fees when it ships late summer 2016. Snagging one after November 6 will bump up the price by $400. And I don't know if you've seen the picture of this or not, but it's, you know, it looks like a very simple compact camera. The form factor, it's about that size. Minimal controls, uses mainly touchscreen controls. And then it has like this grate on the front and you can see through it and you can see all the camera modules, which is kind of cool. Looks like a sea creature or something looking at you through the kelp there. Very interesting. And I know a few folks in our community are high on this camera. You know, I'm just going to wait and see. I tell you, the thing about all of this stuff is that they're very interesting to me. And instead of saying that it's a DSLR killer or it's a mirrorless killer or it's a whatever killer, just say that, you know, it's a new type of camera. And I'm sure there's a snazzy marketing way you can say that. Because we're not going to get rid of our DSLRs because of this camera. We're not going to get rid of our OMDs or whatever we're using. But we may add it to the fold. And in fact, later on in the show, I'm talking about the DX01, which is that high-resolution camera module you can connect to an iPhone or an iPad. You know, it has a DSLR quality also, but it certainly hasn't caused me to put my Canons on the market yet. So I love shooting with it, but it's its own thing, and that's the way this is. So we'll follow this story. It's interesting to me, certainly not a DSLR killer. And that is this week's Weekly Update. Story number one, Mac OS X El Capitan for photographers. So I'll just start out by saying that Mac OS X 10.11 has been a nice upgrade. In fact, the computer that I'm recording the podcast on right now is running El Capitan. It's also my test computer. And for the most part, it has been very smooth. There's a few hiccups that we'll talk about today. But I just want to kind of go down the list of applications that we would be interested in with this and just kind of give you a rundown. Photos for OS X. It got a bit of a refresh with this version of the software. As you know, Photos for OS X ships with the system software, so usually new system software, usually new version of Photos. And we got two things this time, in addition to, I think, improved performance, but we also got photo extensions, which are essentially plugins that we can use for image editing. There are four of them out there right now. One is called Tonality, which is an excellent black and white plugin. And the way that the plugins or extensions are implemented are terrific. You're looking at a picture in Photos for OS X. You decide that you want to use one of your extensions that you've loaded. It's there in the editing menu at the bottom. You choose it. The screen replaces the Photos interface with the extension interface. You do your work in it. When you save it, then you're returned to the Photos interface, but with the modified image. And what's cool about it, while you're in the Photos interface, you can hit the M key, the master key, and see what the original image looked like before you edited it in the extension. So it's really a great non-destructive workflow. You can return to the original image. You can do all sorts of stuff with it. I love the way it's implemented. And I can't wait to see what photo extensions we get with Photos for OS X. I'm anticipating things from On One and Nick Google and stuff like that. It's going to be a blast. We also got better geotagging. And before we could read geotags in Photos for OS X, now we can apply geotags, and the method of applying them is very easy. And you can do the things where you can do a search for a place, it drops a pin, and then if the pin isn't exactly where you want it, you can move the pin and the geotag is updated for the photo. Very, very nice, very easy to use. So geotagging now is back full steam in Photos for OS X. And those are the two major features. The application runs well on El Capitan. It's very nice. We didn't get any help on the front end. We didn't get star ratings or flags or anything like that. So that still needs some work. But on the image editing side and geotagging side, it's looking very good. Aperture 3.6. Runs fine on El Capitan. So yay, because we didn't know. We really didn't know. I found one bug, which is soft proofing doesn't work. But beyond that, everything has been pretty smooth. And I've put it through a lot of different tests, including printing. And I would say that if you're an Aperture user, El Capitan is going to buy you another year of using Aperture. Now, the thing I didn't test are the plugins for Aperture, and I'm sure that's going to vary. I'm sure some will work fine with El Capitan and some might not. So if you have a test machine, I still recommend doing the OS update on the test machine, running Aperture, testing your favorite plugins and things like that before you do it on your main machine, just to make sure that you're going to be cozy comfortable. But for the most part, it's looking good with Aperture. Lightroom, well, we already talked about Lightroom. There's not much more to be said there. I don't think Lightroom's problem has much to do with El Capitan as it does with Adobe. And that's just going to have to sort itself out. So if you're a Lightroom user, I don't think it makes much difference if you're on Yosemite or El Capitan right now. Probably just maybe want to stick with an earlier version. Audio, I'm recording on a different mic right now because the one thing that El Capitan really put the screws to was all of my M audio interfaces. None of them work. They all just produce buzzing sounds now. And, you know, I have to say that's not all on Apple. That, you know, M audio hasn't updated their drivers for the longest of time. So that's just, why don't we just give 50% blame on each side there. But at any rate, if you're using M audio interfaces, you're going to have a problem. And I had to switch to a different mic. I'm actually using the red mic right now, and I put the link in an article. I'll have the article about all of this, and you can check it out there. But I actually switched to a mic that only cost me way back when like $70, and it sounds terrific, and it works with El Capitan, and off we go. It's the MXL Tempo KR condenser microphone that has the USB audio interface built into it. It's quite good. Everything else that I use daily, Pages, Audio Hijack Pro, Fission, Perfect Browse 9, Transmit, Moon and Voice, IA Writer, they all seem good. From my perspective, El Capitan seems like a nice, clean update. And with the exception of the audio interface with M-Audio and that one bug in Aperture, I would say I'm rolling along pretty well. I still recommend, however, that you test it on a secondary machine first. Really run through the things that you need before you apply it to your main machine. You just never know. Your mileage could be a little different than mine. Story number two, the 2016 Digital Story Photo Workshop season. Oh boy, this could be fun. So I love working on the workshop season, and I'm always excited when I get to announce it. I'll spend a little bit of time on it today just so you know what's going on, and then we'll talk about individual events up the road. But I just want to give you an overview right now. Four new workshops for 2016. In Feb, we're going to do Reinvent the Wedding, and it's going to be a workshop for those of you that want to be wedding photographers, either as a freelance or to satisfy family obligations, whatever reason. I'm going to show you the easiest, most efficient way to shoot a wedding, to manage all the aspects of it from way before the wedding happens to afterwards. And then we'll also talk about business and marketing, especially for those that are considering it as an additional revenue stream. That's going to be in February. And then in April, we're going to do the San Francisco Street Shooting Workshop. Very popular workshop. And just like I did last year where I introduced new places, once again, we will have new places in this workshop. And I think one of the big things about this year in San Francisco, I'm extending the workshop to 3 days instead of two. So it's going to be even more fun. We're going to do more stuff. So this year is a 3-day workshop, street shooting in San Francisco. It's going to be a blast. And then in August, we're going to do something brand new that we've never done before. We're going to go to Point Reyes National Seashore. I've scoped out a great place for us to stay and set up as headquarters. And then we are going to explore. I mean, there is so much. Those of you that have been to Point Reyes will know what I'm talking about when I say this place has everything. It has a shoreline, it has hills, it has wildlife, it has Thule elk herd, has Indian villages. This is going to be a great adventure. The weather almost always is beautiful there in August. And already, some folks that saw the updated workshop page have already latched onto this workshop. And right now, it's the one that's getting the most names on the reservation list. And then for fall, we're going to break with tradition. We're going to do something different this year in October. We're going to go to the Eastern Sierra for fall color, the most spectacular place in California for fall color. It's spectacular there anyway. We were there this June, and we're going to go back next October. So not only will we have fall color, we'll go to Bodie, visit Mono Lake. It will also be 3 days, and that will be in October. So that is our lineup for this year. I've updated the workshops page on the Digital Story. All you have to do is go to thedigitalstory.com/workshops, or just go to the site, and workshops is up there in the top navigation bar. And that whole page is updated. The reservation form is ready and waiting for you. All you got to do is pick which workshop you want from the pop-up menu. Give me your name, give me your email address, and boom, you will be on the reserve list for the workshop or workshops of your choice. Within a day or so, I usually get you a confirmation, and then you just wait until I send you the actual opportunity to reserve your seat. Just leave the world behind. Come hang out with us. We'll feed you well. We'll take great care of you, and we'll make sure that you come home with lots and lots of great pictures. Story number three, looking at presets and customizing in Zenfolio. So this is a short series that I'm doing on Zenfolio right now. And today, what I want to talk about is just getting your site up and running in the look that you want. And basically, the way that they approach this, Zenfolio, is that they provide you with designer presets. So they are site design and layout settings that have already been adjusted and optimized to make your various Zenfolio pages have this well-coordinated presentation. You can apply a preset to the entire site or just to individual pages. They are comprehensive, and they just cover your site settings, your theme, your layouts, your page options, all of this. So it really gets you up and going quickly. And this is what's cool about it, and they look really good. I mean, you could stop right there. Once you get your site sort of the V1 up there and you have a chance to live with it for a little bit and you spend more time with it, then you may want to customize particular areas. And there's lots of ways to do this. You can import and export custom themes created through the Zenfolio Theme Designer. That's one way to do it. You can share your custom themes. If you create something that's really cool, you can share them with other Zenfolio users. And you can also use themes created by other users. So there's this whole community there with these specialized looks. And then you can purchase themes also. There's third-party sites like Zen Enjoyable where you can purchase customized themes. So the point that I want to make today about Zenfolio at zenfolio.com is that you can get up and running quickly with something that is just very professional, very polished looking, but then you can keep going. And in fact, certain areas of pages, if you know JavaScript or HTML5, which is what Zenfolio uses for the bulk of its coding, then there are areas of the site, of your site, that you can modify even using your own code. Story number four, revisiting the DX01 with the iPhone 6S. So I've noticed that the DX01 is doing a good job of staying in the headlines. And there seems to be traction building with this device. If you don't know what it is a very high quality camera. In a very small, very well-designed package, 20-megapixel camera, captures both JPEG and RAW, has a very fast fixed focal length lens, and it plugs into an iOS device using the Lightning connector. And when you plug it into the device, then you have the DXO software that allows you to control the camera, program mode, aperture priority mode, adjust the white balance, exposure compensation, whatever you need, just like you would with your enthusiast DSLR. You can do all that, and then you can process the images, the JPEGs, of course, any way that you want. And the RAW files, the way I recommend is DXO Optics Pro, that really pulls just this beautiful quality out of the shots. So I started testing the camera with the iPhone 5S, because that's what I had at the time I got it. And it was good, but there were a few things that bothered me. And one of them was that I had to take the case off of my iPhone in order to use the camera. And I just didn't like that. I like having my case on the iPhone all the time. And I didn't like having it naked, as we say. That kept me from using the One as much as I normally would. So now with the iPhone 6S, when I bought the iPhone 6S, as you know, if you listen to that podcast, I went to the Apple store, did the whole thing. And while I was there, I got the Apple leather case for it, the slim case, which I like a lot. I got the navy blue one. It's really, really pretty. And so that's on the iPhone. And then I just put a transparent protector over the face of it. So my 6S is very thin. The case doesn't take up much space at all, but I feel like I have some nice protection. Well, as it turns out, the way that Apple designed that case, their Apple case for the 6S, I don't have to remove it in order to use the DX01. And this changed a lot of things for me, because now I can just carry the DX01 with me. If I want to use it with the iPhone, boom, I just plug it in. I don't have to take off a case or do anything and just start shooting. And the other thing that I noticed is that the Lightning connector seems more snug with the 6S. And it wasn't bad before. I wasn't one of those people that had a problem, you know, worrying about my iPhone falling off, because quite honestly, when I have the DxO, I'm holding the iPhone and not the DxO, right? Because just in terms of leverage, that just makes more sense to me. So I'm holding an iPhone, so I never really had a problem, but boy, it really locks in there now, and it's very snug with the 6S. And then the updated electronics in the 6S really picked up the performance of the DX01, and it's a very, very snappy camera right now. I really like it a lot. Bottom line is that the new iPhone has really improved my experience with the DX01, and I like it even better now than I did before. So I just really felt like I wanted to share that with you. If you're using the new iPhone and you're curious about the DxO, then I would say that with the new iPhone, it is the optimal experience. And I think it's worth looking into. Story number 5. Got a little screening room selection for you today. This one is so much fun. The DIY Photographer with Joseph Linaski. Joseph loves doing DIY projects. The text that they have on the Linda site says, "In the world of photography, even the simplest accessories can cost a few days' salary. The answer? Don't buy it, build it. That's the idea behind the Do-It-Yourself Photographer. Every other week, photographer and educator Joseph Linaski shows you how you can fashion ordinary items, from plastic cups to clamps to parchment paper, into accessories that will improve lighting, stabilize your camera, and much more." And there's already a whole bunch of these episodes there. You can just look up the DIY Photographer. You'll get all of his stuff there. And he is good at this. Joseph has a knack for this stuff. If you're sitting around on a Saturday morning and you go, you know, the weather's lousy, I don't know what I want to do today. Go to lynda.com, pull up Joseph's stuff, and pick one and start playing. And before you know it, the day will be over and you'll have done some great stuff. All right, let's do a little virtual camera club news here. Red River Paper did this post, "Choosing the right paper for portraits and wedding images." And what they wrote is that the de facto standard for wedding and portrait prints over the past 4 decades has been luster paper. Photo labs refer to this lightly textured media as the photo e-surface. The terms satin, luster, and sometimes pearl can be used interchangeably. It strikes a good balance between the glossy and matte surfaces, offering the benefits of excellent color reproduction and a non-distracting surface. It also provides pretty decent fingerprint protection. And I agree. I love the luster finish or the satin finish. And, you know, they are a little different. I mean, we can refer to this category as basically a type of paper, but there are, you know, variances within it. And the thing that I like about it is with the luster surface is that you get the pop of glossy. You know, the colors really come out, the details good. You get that pop, but you don't get that shine, that reflection, and then it also doesn't show fingerprints. And I just think for handing prints to people especially, I think this is a great way to go. If you haven't played with the luster surface, I'd give it a try, honestly. I think it's great, and I think it's particularly good for portraits. And of course, I would buy the paper at Red River Paper. And you can get there. We have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. And of course, they have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And then I want to wrap up today with another anecdote. So I was thinking the other day. This is after a meeting at the studio. What the sequence has been of visits to the studio where people mentioned the pictures on the wall there at the studio. How many times in a row has that happened? To the best of my knowledge, I can't remember when it hasn't happened. So imagine every time that someone comes over for a visit to your place, your studio, your office, your home. Imagine every time they come over, before the evening is over, someone has mentioned the pictures of your work hanging on the wall. Every time. Imagine that. It's a great feeling. And the reason why I bring it up is that is what's going on with me and with having all sizzle picks downstairs. Every time, every meeting, as far back as I can remember, before the meeting's over, someone has mentioned at least one of the pictures on the wall and then asked me how I did them. And I always give them the answer, sizzle picks, sizzlpix.com, 5K ultra high definition output. Absolutely beautiful. It's like a retina display you hang on the wall and it will attract comments. I can almost guarantee it. SizzlePix also has a tile on all the pages of the digital story. So I think that's going to do it for us this week. My heartfelt empathy goes out to what Lightroom users are going through right now. I hope this clears up for you guys sooner than later. It's always a bummer when your workflow gets messed with. No one likes that at all. On the other hand, those that are thinking about upgrading to El Capitan, good news, yay. And I think it's safe to jump into the water there. As always, go to a test machine if you can. And I tell you, that little DX01, that is a heck of a camera, and especially with the new iPhones. I got some great stuff I'm working on for next week, and make sure you come back and visit me. And again, thanks for all the notes and letters and everything from last week's show. It was a blast. We're going to keep it going. I've got great topics. So enjoy having you as part of our virtual camera club. See you next week. Bye-bye now.